Black Butterflies by Priscilla Morris. 1. Spring. It sometimes seems to Zora that with all the teaching and curating and meetings and paperwork and caring and cooking and cleaning and errands, she is floundering at the midpoint of her life. There's no time left over for the core of her. Perhaps, at 55, she's beyond the midpoint now. But she'd always imagined that these years, her child grown and gone, herself not yet old, would be her most spacious and productive. She'd pictured herself spending long, blissful days in her studio. But instead, everything else always encroaches. There's the forward rhythm of the tram and the rattle of the dusty window panes, the worry. She presses her forehead to the glass, drinking in her city at this strange hour. The wind carries twisting flyers down the street, and the mountains waver in the pre-dawn light. The outlines of things, buildings, frozen cars, a sleeping drunk, are porous. The threshold between night and day feels uncertain, as if she could just as easily slip back into the night as go forwards into the day. Her husband, the sole other passenger, keeps his eyes closed and grips the handrail. His head droops, long spine curving. She could hardly stir him from bed. It's the weekend, and she'd hoped to spend her day in the studio, but the terse 5 a.m. phone call put a stop to that. "There's been a break-in," her mother's neighbour informed her. "Criminals, hooligans, God knows what, dancing and drinking all night, whooping and shouting. The police don't want to know." A cool needle of alarm slid into Zora's belly. But, she reminded herself, her mother's neighbour had always overreacted and thought the worst of everyone. The criminals were probably no more than a couple of stoned teenagers having some fun in an empty flat. Still, she and Franjo moved quickly, groping for clothes, fingers fumbling with buttons. Through the tram window, Zora sees that old sofas bristling with barbed wire have been dragged out to split certain streets in two. She feels a pulse of shock. She's read about this, but has never been up early enough to see it before. She knows, because everyone does, that men with black stockings pulled low over their heads do this every night to carve up the city into enclaves. These furtive nationalists could be anyone. A neighbour, a lover, a friend. It's futile in any case. Every morning the bemused inhabitants of the street, whether Muslim, Croat or Serb, simply push the barriers aside and get on with their days. Candle stubs, wilted flowers, empty bottles and pamphlets litter the cobblestones of another street, the remnants of a peace march. As the tram joins the riverbank, Zora catches sight of a family standing on the curb by the bridge. Their rough clothes, battered bags and the headscarves the women wear suggests they come from the country. Zora wonders where they are going. A shudder of bronze spills down the Miliatska. Clusters of blossom shake on the greening trees. The tram clatters along the river towards the old town hall, or Viechnitsa, as everyone calls it. Zora glimpses a row of windows under the ornate roofline of the faux Ottoman building. Her studio is up there, where the swallow's nests hang from the eaves.